June 16th is Bloomsday, the annual celebration of the life and work of James Joyce and the events of the day he depicts in his novel Ulysses. Frank Delaney will celebrate, of course, but then just about every day is Bloomsday for him. On Bloomsday last year, Frank began an ambitious project. He's deconstructing Joyce's Ulysses one chapter at a time for a weekly podcast called Rejoice.
That opacity connects the Übermensch to Adam, because when Nietzsche had Zarathustra thus spake of the Übermensch, he claimed that when the Übermensch took his rightful place in the future, and there would be no more man, no more ordinary man, the last man standing would therefore be the most reviled thing on earth.
Got it? By Bloomsday this year, Frank Delaney will have completed Chapter 1, just 17 to go, and there have been more than 100,000 downloads. Frank Delaney joins us from our studios in New York. Frank, so wonderful to have you back. Thanks very
much.
Hello,
Scott.
How long is this going to take?
Well, I did think when I started it was going to take around 20 to 22 years. But given the Chapter 1, which is one of the shortest and simpler chapters in the book, it has taken exactly 1 year. I've revised my estimates upward, and I'm looking at around 28 to 30 years.
Frank, will there be downloads in 28 to 30 years?
Well, there will be on the cloud somewhere. Yeah. I've got to make sure that I'm not on the same cloud.
Of course, your 1981 book, James Joyce's Odyssey, is considered a classic by a number of us. Why did you decide to undertake this process now?
Here's the thing, Scott. You know, I am a passionate believer in democratization. I couldn't bear, when I was in my 20s, that a fellow countryman of mine had written a book that I couldn't understand. Not only could I not understand it, but a whole cadre of people across the world seemed to have a vested interest in making sure that nobody understood it, because, of course, he entitled literary snobbery in a way that had never been done before. The snobbery around Joyce congealed. We couldn't break through it at all, so I thought, this isn't good enough. I tried three times to read it. I failed every single time. I stumbled and sprawled across the doorstep of Ineluctable Modality of the Visible in Chapter 3, never got further. And then I made the breakthrough. I thought, if I'm to understand this book, I can't just read it. I must write a book about it, and then I'll have to understand it. What happened thereafter? Call it falling in love.
Rejoice was once a one-man show. Now there's the podcast. here's another form of modern media you've taken on to tell the story.
He wasn't born into a house of artistry and intellect. His father was a bombast who found it hard to get respect. Yet Jim, from the time he went to school and then to college, astounded all around him by the way he soaked up knowledge. These are well-known facts about his brain and his great capacity. But the fact is he's remembered chiefly for his great opacity.
Not exactly Little Wayne, but it makes the point, doesn't it?
Well, it's the Rejoice rap in which all the great rappers of our time meet Monty Python, introduced by Gilbert and Sullivan. I think that's the best way I can summarize it. It's part of a device, Scott, to break through the idea that this man is impossible to understand.
Frank, give us a line that means something to you that we can take to Bloomsday.
Oh, my God. I brought the book with me. I have an early copy here. I have the 1928 edition. I've just opened it on page 24, and it's Stephen teaching in a school at the edge of Dublin. And here's an idea of what I'm doing, Scott. In the middle of asking a boy a question about King Pyrrhus, Pyrrhic victory, a man who won all his battles but lost so many men in the process that it was more costly to win than to lose, while Stephen Dedalus, one of the protagonists, who is the autobiographical Joyce, is actually teaching, his mind wanders. And he says, "Fabled by the daughters of memory, and yet it was in some way, if not as memory fabled it, a phrase then of impatience, thud of Blake's wings of excess. I hear the ruin of all space, shattered glass and toppling masonry, and time one livid final flame, what's left us then?" Now, what's in there is half a dozen references to that wonderful 17th, 18th century visionary and poet William Blake, who wrote the words for Jerusalem. What was Blake's great remark? "The road of excess leads to the palace of wisdom." That's in there. "No bird ever flew too high who flew in his own wings." That's in there. Blake's apocalyptic vision of the end of the world. That's in there. So when I come to a phrase like this, and I'm working out the week's podcast, which is only 5 or 7 minutes, the excitement of unwrapping all these references is something unrivaled in my life. And at the same time, it takes me away from my ordinary world, and it's kind of like a little private university to which one goes and in which one receives a diploma every single day.
Frank, thanks so much.
Scott, thank you very much. Happy Bloomsday.
And happy Bloomsday to you, my friend. Frank Laney, author and Joyce scholar. Despite himself sometimes, his podcast, Rejoice, is available on his website, frankdelaney.com, and on iTunes. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.